rather interesting story. It's a story right near the end of Abraham's life, actually. His wife Sarah has already died at over 100. And his son Isaac is about 40 years old. And Isaac has not married yet. And Abraham wants to find a wife for Isaac. And it's an interesting story how this all comes together. It's a real interesting story that shows us how we can trust God and seek Him to lead us making decisions in our lives. We'll talk about that as we go along this morning. But it's an interesting story. I found it amazing when I read this. And if you have an imagination like mine, you can kind of picture what's going on. It makes it even more interesting. Now, Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, "Please, put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." The servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to that land from which you came?" But Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he rose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. Nahor, that was Abraham's brother. And he came, and he made his camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time, the time when the women go out to draw water. Then he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of this city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, 'Please let down your pitcher that I may drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I will also give your camels a drink,' that here be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." And it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her, and she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher." So she said, "Drink, my lord." Then she quickly let down her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man wondered at her. Then the man, wondering at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a gold nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?" So she said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor." Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. Then the man, that's the servant, bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And listen to what he says when he worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why did you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels, and he provided straw and feed for the camels, and water to wash his feet and the feet of his men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. And he said, speak on. So he said, well, I am Abraham's servant. They would have known who Abraham was. And the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and male and female servants and camels and donkeys. Oh, yes. More important part. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. And to him he has given us, given all that he has. In other words, Isaac has been given everything that Abraham had. Now my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow you, follow me. But he said to me, the Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with you and prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son from my family and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family, for if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath. Then he goes on and he explains how he prayed. And he tells all the details just like it had happened. Now I want to go down to verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. Interesting. Rebekah doesn't say anything about this. It's all an arranged marriage here. That's the way things was done back then. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard these words, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth, his face right to the ground. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. That was her dowry. He also gave precious things to her brother and her mother. And he said to the men who ate with him, and he and the men who ate with him, and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. But Rebekah's brother and her mother said, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go. Interesting request. And he said to them, do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master. So they said, we will call the young woman and ask her personally. Now this is the first time we hear Rebekah talk about this whole arrangement. Then they called Rebekah, and and to her, and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." Then Rebekah and his and then Rebekah and her maidens arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel, for she had said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother's Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this interesting story where you show your leading in an interesting situation. I pray as we look at this that you would help us to understand what you have for us to learn from you today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's an interesting story here, and it's about a man getting a wife. My brother one time was told that the three most important decisions he'd make in his life was, number one, committing himself to Jesus Christ. Number two, I forgot what order it was in. Number two, another one was what he would do for a career. And number three, who he would choose for a wife. And that's the one we're looking at here today. And as I look across, and we've got a lot of single men here, and I'm a bachelor right now myself. My wife's away for a couple months. I'm kind of right in the middle of that. But anyway, we can kind of think about this a little bit. The Lord, of course, designed marriage in the first place, and we read there in Genesis, and the Lord said, "This is not—it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helper comparable to him." But I realized, no, it's not good for me to be alone this last month, next month yet. I want to get through this. But anyway, you understand what I mean. That's a picture of my nephew. He was about 30 when he and his wife too, when they got married a few years back. But it's Isaac we want to look at. And Abraham decided to help Isaac find a wife. By this time, Isaac was about 40 years old. Sarah had died just a few years before. And that kind of puts this, a little bit of a timeline on that. It'd be quite a few more years yet before Abraham would actually die. But Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to his oldest servant, who ruled over his house, "Please put your hand under my thigh." What's that all about? Well, that's the way they made a promise. He put his hand under his thigh, sitting there, and said, "Okay, whatever I promise to do what you want me to do." And it was kind of like taking an oath. Like now we swear an oath in court. Well, this is the closest thing they had to that. "And I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." And Abraham had his reasons for doing this. "Do not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but you shall go to my country and to my family, take a wife for my son." Very specific orders there. Ishmael had taken a wife from the Canaanites, and that didn't please them because he got into all the pagan worship of the Canaanites. He didn't want that to happen to Isaac, because Isaac was the one that was part of God's chosen family that God's going to do something with. Of course, eventually become the nation of Israel. But so Abraham was very concerned about that. And Abraham also said, beware you do not take my son back there. He didn't want Isaac going back to the land of his forefathers and perhaps not coming back to the land of Canaan. So he sent the servant. And the servant went, and he did his job well. He took 10 camels, and some servants with him as well, other servants, and took lots of gifts and things along, whatever he needed. And those gifts that you see later on, packed them up and headed off to Mesopotamia, which is the area of Iraq today. And it would have been about 500 miles, but by camel it was about a month's journey. And I was thinking about this. The servant went about 500 miles to another country to find a wife for Isaac. I said, that was about how far I traveled to find a wife. Although I had a different motive in going, I went off to Bible college in Saskatchewan, so that was to another country and another province different than Alberta. And I went there, and as I was preparing to go and praying about going, one thing on my mind was, I'm going there to study the Bible, I'm going there to learn God's word, I'm going there to prepare for whatever service you want me to have for me to do. And even then I kind of sense that God might be leading me into ministry. I still knew that in the back of my mind, there's a really good chance that that's where I'm going to find my wife. And so I was praying about that a little bit as well. And actually, both my twin brother and I found our wives there. And they're both Americans. And we practiced free trade. Because I brought my wife into Canada. And Ted went with his wife to the States. And he actually took out American citizenship. He defected. But anyway, that's a side point. But I didn't find my wife there, obviously, but that was not my primary goal. I was going there to study God's word. But God had all these other things lined up, too. I found it kind of interesting because my wife's older brother and sister had gone to Prairie Bible College in Alberta here, at Three Hills. And she could have just as easily wound up going there, and I could have just as easily wound up going there, too. Or we could have missed each other. Either way, you don't know, but God put us together. Because God's hand was in these things. And we see that in the situation with Abraham's servant as well. But I've got to tell you one more funny story. There was one farm boy, well, of course, but he's 20s, that came to Bible college there at Briarcrest. Farm boy from there in Saskatchewan. And he came. He didn't come until... He started in January one year. And came in January. Met a young lady there. Got engaged to her. Left in April. Got married. Went back to the farm, never came back. A couple years later, his sister came to the Bible college, and I said to his sister, well, your brother, when he came here, did he just come to find a wife? And she, without any hesitation, said, yep. And got the job done. Well, we nicknamed it Bradford's Bridal College, because a lot of people found their wives there. Then it became Baby College, when they started having... having more married students come and they start having babies. But anyway, it's another side point. But anyway, Abraham's servant heads off to Mesopotamia and he gets there to the city of Nahor. So probably all he knew was to go to the certain city where Nahor, Abraham's brother, lived. Earlier in the book of Genesis, Nahor is mentioned that he has had quite a number of children and by this time a number of grandchildren. So there's probably quite a few young ladies that would be eligible young ladies to be a bride for Isaac. But anyway, when he gets there, what you going to do? He stops outside the city where the well was, or spring, whatever it was, and he made his camels kneel down there outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Makes sense. And... Now is when the story starts to get interesting. He committed his task to the Lord because he knew this is crunch time here now. And it's interesting how he prays. And this is how he prayed to the Lord. Behold, here I stand by the well of water. And the daughters of the man of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I might drink. And she'll say, yeah, drink. And I also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one that you've appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. So this is the prayer request that he makes. And it's a very interesting prayer request. And it's a prayer request where he's totally leaving up to God who this person is going to be. And he's made very clear how he wants God to show him who this person is. He takes a little bit of initiative, but he's not going to lead it on. The person's going to have to take it to the second step and offer to water the camels as well. I was thinking about that. Giving a man a drink is one thing. But watering 10 camels? How much water do 10 camels drink anyway? Well, the Lord honored the servant's prayer. And it happened before he had finished speaking. They pulled Rebecca, get the right name here, Rebecca, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, and I'll explain that all connection in a minute, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her, so she's eligible. And she came down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to her to meet her. He said, please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher. Okay, he's set the trap here, so to speak. He's done his part. Now it's up to the Lord how Rebecca's going to respond. But I find it interesting, he says, before he finished his prayer, here comes Rebecca. Have you ever had God answer your prayer before you're done praying? I did once. It was kind of interesting. It was a crazy, crazy story. I was looking after the snow shoveling at a church up in Grand Prairie area. And this one snow shovel went missing. And I couldn't find it. And after church, I was walking out of the church. I said, Lord, this is a small thing. I was going to ask the Lord, show me where the snow shovel is. But as soon as I said this is a small thing, I got the sense from the Lord, look behind you. There around the corner of the church, there was a snow shovel sitting in the snow. Before he even said it, it was answered. Well, here's Rebecca coming. Now he doesn't know, is this the right one or not? Well, I'll ask her to give me a drink and see what happens. I'm not going to put it any farther. I mean, he could be thinking, well, this is a beautiful young lady. She must be the right one. I mean, isn't that the way most guys think? And how did she respond? Well, she said, drink, my Lord. Then she quickly let down her pitcher from her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, and I'll draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. I'm sure about that time, the servant went, this is working out the way it's supposed to here. So far. You see, he still doesn't know who she is. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew forth all her camels. And the man wondered at her, remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. He didn't let the cat out of the bag. He's going to let all this all play out, make sure that this is the Lord's direction and not him manipulating in any way. Who was Rebecca? Well, she was actually Abraham's grandniece. He didn't know that yet. She'd be a second cousin to Isaac. She was very beautiful, and she was a virgin, the Bible says. So very much the kind of person that he was looking for. And what did Rebecca do? Well, she served Abraham's servant. She followed the Lord's lead. I believe she was prompted of the Lord to do this. The Lord's working both ways, how he prayed and how she responds. God can work, prompt her to do that. And she trusted the Lord, and the Lord put this all together. And then Rebecca introduced herself when the servant asked her. So after So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took the gold nose ring, weighing half a shekel, and two bracelets for her wrists, weighing 10 shekels of gold, and said, "Whose daughter are you?" And of course gave her these things. And that was a kind of normal thing to give a gift like that. But anyway, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? I need a place to stay tonight." And she said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son." Those names might not have meant anything to him. They might have, I don't know. But when he said, "whom she bore to Nahor." Nahor, oh yes, that's Abraham's brother. This is a relative. This is working out the way it's supposed to. "Moreover," she said to him, "we have both straw and feed enough," for the camels, of course, "and room for you to lodge." What more could he ask for? Well, the servant marveled at God's goodness. And this is interesting how he prays now. "Then the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord and said, 'Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham.'" Why? "Who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me." And where did he lead me? He lead me to my house of my master's brethren. I highlight those words, "being on the way, the Lord led me." Because that's how the Lord works. Like, "Lord, I need a job." So I sit in the hammock and I pray, "Lord, I need a job. Give me a job." We can lay in that hammock all day and say, "Lord, give me a job." It's not going to happen. We say, "Lord, give me a job. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go looking for one. I want you to guide me to the right place." You know, like we go and seek to go. God directs us while we're going. It's like a vehicle. You don't steer a vehicle while it's sitting still. The vehicle's got to be moving. That's how the Lord works in our lives, and he directs us which way to go. We just need to be sensitive to go in the way he leads and say, "Lord, close this door, open that door, whichever way you want it to work out. Not my way, but your way." No, you don't want to be like the guy that was on a diet. And finally he said, "I've lost some weight. Now I want to go to Tim Hortons. I want to have a creamy chocolate show." That's what I love at McDonald's, Tim Hortons. Boy, there's about a zillion calories in them. But anyway, "Lord, if it's your will, I'm going to go down there and get that. And you show me your will by providing a parking spot right in front." So he goes down there, and sure enough, there's a parking spot right in front on his 15th time around this building. No, that's not how you do the Lord's direction, because you're manipulating it. Don't you let the Lord direct it. The servant met Rebekah's family. The young woman ran home to tell her family everything that had happened. Now, Rebekah had a brother named Laban. And Laban, we'll hear more about Laban later on in the book of Genesis too, who ran out to meet the man at the spring. He had seen the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists and had heard Rebekah tell what the man had said. So he rushed out to the spring. And there the man was still standing beside his camels. And Laban said to him, "Come, stay with us. You're blessed by the Lord. Why are you standing here outside the town when I have a room all ready for you and a place prepared for the camels?" Well, that's a pretty good invitation. Just what he was hoping would happen. But now he has to meet the family. And the servant introduced himself, met the family. This reminds me of when I met my wife's family. It was kind of interesting. Of course, she was from Michigan, so I never saw much of her family. Her parents came up and picked her up after the first year of Bible college, and I spent one afternoon with them on the campus, and they went back. And then I never saw them again until the next Christmas. I went there at Christmas time, and we were talking about getting married, so I was already prepared to get things moving here. And so I had to get up the courage to ask her father for her hand in marriage. It took a little bit of courage. So he and I got in his pickup truck one day. He was driving over somewhere to pick up some car parts or something. And while we're driving down the road, I asked him, "Well, I'd like to marry your daughter. Can I do that? I got your blessing." However I worded it. And he said something along the line of, "So you've been talking about getting married?" He said, "Yeah." And just then, the truck does a spin around. And in the ditch we go. And I'd never been in a vehicle that had done a spin around before. I braced myself in what's going to happen. And it didn't take much to get back out of it. But that's been the story ever since in the family, that when I asked him for his daughter's hand, he went in the ditch. Didn't think I'd shock him that much. But anyway, yeah. It was an interesting thing that happened. But here, the servant now meets Rebekah's family. So the man went home with Laban, and Laban unloaded the camels, gave him straw for their bedding, fed them, and looked after, provided water for the man and the camel drivers to wash their feet, looked after them. Yeah, providing water to wash feet was a big thing in that era, because you're always running around in the dust and dirt and mud and whatever. And it was very much showing hospitality to do that. Then food was served. They're sitting down at the meal. And Abraham's first servant says, "Wait a minute. I don't want to eat until I have told you why I'm here." "All right," Laban said, "tell us." And he says, "Well, I'm Abraham's servant. And the Lord has greatly blessed my master. He's become a wealthy man. He has given him flocks of sheep and goats and herds of cattle and a fortune in silver and gold and many male and female servants and camels and donkeys." Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? This is a rich guy. That was true. Then he gets to the important part. When Sarah, my master's wife, was very old, like 90 years old, she gave birth to my master's son. And my master has given him everything he owns. And my master made me take an oath. He said, "Do not allow your son to marry one of these local Canaanite women. Go instead to my father's house, to my relatives, and find a wife there for my son." Then I bowed low and worshipped the Lord, and I praised the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, because he had led me straight to my master's knees to be his son's wife. "So tell me, will you or won't you show unfailing love and faithfulness to my master? Please tell me yes or no. Then I'll know what to do next." He says, "Okay, I'm asking you to make an arranged marriage," because that was the way it's done, between the family and our family, "that your daughter, your sister, can be my master's son Isaac's wife." And it's interesting how they respond. They agree. Then Laban and Bethuel, that'd be Rebekah's brother and Rebekah's mother, answered and said, "The thing comes from the Lord." Very clear to them. This is the Lord's doing. We can't go against this. "Here's Rebekah before you. Take her and go. Let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken." And away they went. Not quite. Then Abraham's servant heard the answer. He bowed down to the ground and worshipped the Lord, brought up silver and gold jewelry, clothing, and presented something to Rebekah. That was her dowry. He also gave expensive presents to her brother and her mother. And they ate their meal, and the servant and the men with him stayed there overnight. In other words, they had an engagement party. And in their culture, and the way things were done, this was the legal part of the marriage. It's all arranged. It's a done deal. This woman is going to be this man's wife. And the next morning, Rebekah agreed to go immediately. This is getting interesting. Early the next morning, we finally hear from Rebekah. Early the next morning, Abraham's servant said, "Send me back to my master. But we want Rebekah to stay with us at least 10 days, her brother and mother said. Obviously, they want to ask something like that. But what does he say? "No, I want to get going." "Then she can go. But he says, don't delay me. The Lord has made my mission successful. Now send me back so I can return to my master. Well, they said, we'll call Rebecca and ask her what she thinks. Now we finally hear from Rebecca what she thinks. But does she want to go along with this idea or not? Not only is she willing to go and be Isaac's wife, but she's willing to go right away. Are you willing to go with this man? And she replied, yes, I'll go. Yes. Why? Because this was the Lord's direction all the way through. And I think she sensed that as well. So they said goodbye to Rebecca and sent her away with Abraham's servant and his men. The woman who had been Rebecca's childhood nurse went along with her. It seemed like some other servants might as well when you listen to some of the other details. But the way they went happened quickly. And Rebecca's family gave their blessing. So they said goodbye to Rebecca and sent her away with Abraham's servant and his men. The woman who had been Rebecca's childhood nurse went along with her. They gave her their blessing as she parted. Our sister, may you become the mother of many millions. May your descendants be strong and conquer the cities of their enemies. And that has happened with the nation of Israel. This was fulfilled, really. Then Rebecca and her servant girls, his and servant girls there as well, mounted their camels and followed the man. So Abraham's servant took Rebecca and went on his way. Now they head on this month-long journey back to the land of Canaan where Abraham and Isaac are. And one evening, Rebecca finally meets Isaac. One evening, as Isaac was walking and meditating in the field, he took up straw and looked up and saw the camels coming. When Rebecca looked up and saw Isaac, she quickly dismounted from her camel. Who is that man walking through the fields to meet us? She asked the servant. And he replied, it's my master. So Rebecca covered her face with her veil. There's two things that Rebecca did here that shows respect as their culture expected it. One was she got down off her camel. Isaac was on the ground. She got down on the ground. And that was just showing respect to him. And she covered her face with a veil, which was their cultural thing to show respect and submission to him as her master as well, even though she was going to be becoming his wife. And we just have a hint of that, and sometimes in a wedding where the bride has a bit of a veil. Well, Isaac and Rebecca were soon married. Now, Isaac brought Rebecca into his mother's, Sarah's, tent, and she became his wife. He loved her deeply, and she was a special comfort to him after the death of his mother. And like I said, that was just a few years, probably 3 or 4 years after Sarah had died. But I want to just bring some lessons out of this about God's guidance in our lives. The servant was obedient to the Lord. He was faithful to Abraham. He was faithful to the Lord. And he prayed for God's clear direction. We looked at that. And then he thanked God for God's guidance. Rebecca was also a faithful daughter. She is faithful to the Lord. She faithfully served the servant when he came and asked for water. And she is also willing, faithful, and obedient to go in this sudden change of direction in her life. And she became a faithful wife as well. She became a faithful wife as well. What about Isaac? Well, he was obedient as well. He obeyed God. He obeyed his father. He would have had opportunity to marry a Canaanite wife, but Abraham probably said, no, we wait. We've got to do this the right way. And he was faithful to his wife as well. For us, well, we must be submissive to God. This is what, first of all, I want to know God's will. Jesus said, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. We have to be submissive to God. God, it's not what I want, it's what you want for me. It's the direction you want to take my life, not the direction I want to go. I've had to make decisions along the way that way. I think I've talked about how I very specifically made the decision to not stay on the farm when I was asked by my dad, but to go in the direction of ministry, which I believe God was leading me. We also ought to pursue his will for us. What do I mean pursue his will? Well, this is some verses from Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, people like Abraham that lived by faith, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that's so easy to snare us. Don't ask God for God's direction and deliverance from sinful practices. And let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, the way God wants us to go. Looking unto Jesus, focusing on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat on the right hand of the Father, of the throne of God, excuse me. A couple other things about knowing God's will. See God's guidance. These two Bible verses have been very precious to me over most of my life. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't worry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So what's he saying? They say, well, instead of worrying about it, pray about it. Ask God about it. Ask God to direct you. Show you what to do. Work it out, whatever you need. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I find this amazing. Amazing. I'll have a problem. I don't know how to sort it out. I pray about it. The problem's still not solved. But God gives me his peace. And then he starts working it out. I find that amazing. And we need to be thankful as well. Because it says there, you make these requests. Then he throws in that little statement there, with thanksgiving. First of all, we need to be thankful because it's God that's working in our lives. But the other thing that being thankful does is it reminds us, yeah, God's answered my prayer before. I can thank him. He did that, and I can thank him in advance because I know he's going to do something here as well. Need to be thankful as well. What's God's will for us? The very basic first thing about God's will is what we see here. God desires that all men be saved, that all men come to Jesus Christ and come to the knowledge of the truth. And from there, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. That's Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us. And that's where seeking God's will starts. We surrender to God. We give ourselves to Jesus Christ and confess our sin to him, get right with him. And then he begins to lead and guide in the direction he wants us to go. So we begin by coming to Jesus Christ and committing ourselves to Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your leading and guiding in each of our lives. Lord, make us sensitive to the way you're leading and make us obedient to the way you're leading. And may we truly look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.